Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on KX93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Time when I was alone, nowhere to go and no place to call home. My only friend was the man in the moon, and even sometimes he would go away too. Then one night as I closed my eyes, I saw a shadow flying high. He came to me with the sweetest smile, told me he wanted to talk for a while. He said, Peter Pan, that's what they call me. I promise that you'll never be lonely. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. He sprinkled me in pixie dust and told me to believe, believe in him and believe in me. Together we will fly away in a cloud of green to your beautiful destiny. As we soared above the town that never loved me, I realized I finally had a family. Soon enough we reach Neverland, peacefully my feet hit the sand. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. And for always I will sing, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free.
Okay, top of the morning or good morning. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And before we get started with the show, I did get that score for the game, for the Breakers game, football game last night. They won 37-14 over Calvary Chapel. I guess that was Thursday night. So, and so that means we're going to the playoffs. What? Yay! Okay. Today on my show, I have as my guest Blythe Wheaton, and she is with Pet Rescue. So, hi, Blythe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to KX93.5. So, when I think of Pet Rescue, I think of rappelling out of helicopters with ninja suits after they say that the coast is clear, and then you take the dog, scoop him up, and then they you know,
they fly away.
You fly away with a jetpack.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Could do that. That would be great.
so that's, you have a little bit different outfit for that,
right?
It's a red suit or something.
Yes,
and
yeah,
you just fly by. You don't need the helicopter.
Yes, we actually train animals to do that for us, to scoop in and save other animals with their fly suits.
Wow, this is going to be exciting, everybody. Okay, so in all seriousness, what is Pet Rescue? What do you guys?
Well,
what's your mission statement?
Yeah, see? Put me on the spot. Yeah. Well, our official name is the Pet Rescue Center. And our mission is to save the lives of dogs and cats at risk of euthanasia.
Oh, okay. So it's not stealing pets from people's houses.
No.
Taking it to the...
No, and we're also not a publicly funded unit. We are a nonprofit, so we're privately funded. We work on grants.
Wait. I'm working on the you know, the stealth, the outfits.
Yeah.
So it's not, it is rescuing pets that would be that are in the shelters, basically, and they're running out of time. They're on doggy death row, if you will.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. Yeah, the term at risk is very critical to our mission statement because it's a very wide sweeping term. Mm-hmm. There are, of course, everybody knows there are shelters that euthanize, you know, that from varying degrees of euthanasia all throughout California, depending on the city and the county that you go to.
Okay.
Some are better than others. But it's actually a larger swath than that when you say at risk. There's more animals that fall into a kind of a homeless or at risk category because most of what society sets up is the shelter system, the owned pet, mm-hmm, and the veterinarian.
That's it. Those are the three legs of the stool.
So there's a lot of gray area in between there where, you know, people have some sort of life-threatening crisis, like their child develops a severe allergy to a pet. This is a beloved pet that they've had for years.
Sure.
They don't want to send it to the shelter. You know, they want it to go somewhere that they know is loved.
Right.
But they've exhausted all their resources. They've asked all their friends.
Right.
You know, now what do they do?
Put it out on next door.
Yeah. Like, they have to do something. So we're one of those groups. Originally, 10 years ago, we were one of the only groups that will help them find resources to find an answer to their solution.
Now, I'm going to say just a little personal thing. I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping we were going to be talking about ninja suits and shootouts.
I'm sorry. I want to be glamorous. I do. But half the time I'm covered in fur, so I'm not.
It's hard to be a superhero.
It's hard to be a furry, glamorous person.
Okay. So how did you get involved in this? Why? Blight.
Yes. How did I get involved in this? Luck, I think.
Okay.
My husband is Dr. Matthew Wheaton of Alicia Pet Care Center.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
all right. So then you've had connections too. Yes.
Well, my husband,
degrees of separation from these at-risk pets is very low.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he would come home 10 years ago and we would talk about, you know, complaints in the community. What was his feeling was not served. And through conversations, we basically came upon a mission statement and we took the dive and we created
a nonprofit. So that mission statement is really means a lot to you.
Oh, it's,
you're really connected to
it. The mission statement for any nonprofit is basically their Bible is their crux of what they do, and you have to stay true to that. And so everything that we've done, all the programs we've created, have to reflect that mission statement and basically enable us to save lives.
Okay.
And so,
you were in proximity to a number of cases, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you think that you could do something, you one person in all this?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure
Could say, gosh, that's sad. And then you go back to, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that's very true. I still to this day, I was telling you, I feel like I'm a little kid. I don't feel like I am a fully grown adult that is capable of handling responsibility. I think at some point you realize that I'm not willing to just not do anything. And that was the point that both my husband and I got to. And we were tired of saying, this sucks. We want, a resource and expecting somebody else to do it. And, we tend to think that we have good ideas and we put it out there into the community and we got a really great response when proposed it.
But let's go back to that. So there's the not in my backyard, and then there's maybe somebody else will take care of it.
Right.
Those are,
core
values.
I don't know. I think it was a judgment call on our part. We just launched into it. And truly, I think that we were propelled by the positive response. And honestly, I never could have imagined it would become what it is. And I never could have imagined that 10 years later, it would be what it is. But it is. And it's great. And it's doing amazing things. And I'm happy that we did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have more from Blythe Wheaton of the Pet Rescue Center. All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. And I am your host, Ernest Hackman. We'll be right back. Thank you.
since I got sleep. But Sunday nights, they don't come cheap.
And we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and we do this show live every Saturday morning. Today, I'm delighted to have as my guest, Blythe Wheaton from the Pet Rescue Center. So, Blythe, when we left off, we were talking about how you got into it, that you had found yourself in proximity to at-risk animals. And so instead of just flipping the channel to another channel, you said, I'm going to do something. And so next thing you know, you're involved. But what is the root of the issue here? What why do we need pet rescue centers?
Well, that's an excellent question. Thank you.
Oh, try to get that softball up in the strike zone.
The overarching problem is overpopulation.
Okay.
There are more animals than we know what to do with.
Okay, now, yeah.
America does a really good job of keeping our animals hidden from us so we don't see them.
Well, yeah, because when I was a kid, they used to be stray dogs that would run around and knock your trash cans over in the morning.
And if you go to any other country, it's the same. Like, you'll see stray animals running all over the place. But America does a really good job that we keep them hidden away. Unfortunately, we don't do a good job of making sure they find a home. And so once they're in the shelter system, there are too many for the shelter system to handle.
Right.
And because of that, because there are just more being born over and over again, because there's really no regulation to stop that from happening.
Right.
not that that's the only answer, but still, it doesn't
ultimately
exist. Ultimately,
the numbers,
babies happen, and we can't stop it. And so there's just too many animals out there. And so pet rescue, you know, we're not the sole solution to that issue. It's a multifaceted problem in I think, American city structure that
someone will
figure out along the ways. And I really hope that some politician takes that up as his, you know, mantle to carry. But we can only address what we have decided to address, which to provide a resource, to provide rescue. And
so when you say you provide rescue, what does that mean? How do you, in down on the dirt?
Mm-hmm. We do two things. We go to the shelters, and we go to the shelter.
Excellent.
Basically, we keep track of all of the shelters in Southern California, and we study their euthanasia rates.
Okay.
They tend to fluctuate throughout the year, and some are because of a fire in the area.
Okay.
And then there's an influx of animals.
Disaster or something like that.
Or
displaced.
Or there's a hoarder that was arrested, and that person had 120 animals inside their house.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, there are all kinds of, like, weird random situations that all of a sudden will surge the population of a shelter.
Okay.
We try to provide relief to those shelters by taking a few animals. But also, we just go to the shelter when we find that we have the ability to take a few animals.
Okay. And then when you say take them, do you bring them home? And then, you know, you just...
Yes.
Well, you're now the person with 100. Now you're at 123.
Yeah, that is a myth. People always ask me, how many animals do you have in your house? I do not do this out of my home. actually, the Pet Rescue Center is a homeless nonprofit. We don't have a facility. The Pet Rescue Center name was created in the beginning when we did have a facility, and that it fell through because of some various reasons. But
those things happen.
Yeah. So all of the animals that we take in from whatever circumstance they're in, generally, it's like kids in a preschool. When they're all together, they get sick.
Okay.
It's not necessarily a catastrophic sickness, but they're all kept together. So they have a cough or a stuffy nose or something.
Sure, and they just pass it back and forth.
Yeah. So we take our rescues and we provide them medical care. And we do that in a veterinary facility.
Mm-hmm.
So we get them healthy. And then once they're healthy, we can start promoting them on social media, on our website, and we try to get them adopted out as quickly as possible.
Okay, so it's a matchmaking service.
Yes, we're eHarmony for rescued pets. and so they're not, we wish that we had a property that, you know, we could exponentially expand our rescuing capability.
Sure,
but
sure.
Until that dream is fulfilled, we will have...
You can do
smaller.
You can only do what you can do.
Exactly.
What you have the capacity to do.
Right.
Without having them all in your house or your car.
Yes. No. Not in my house.
Yeah. Mom, can't we keep these three?
Yeah. Well, it has happened. I brought home a few, but
right. But
not permanently.
That's not a sustainable model, right?
Right. Although all three of my pets that I have were rescues from.
Okay, so
you're another.
You are. What do you? You eat your own dog food, or
yes,
or, yeah.
Yes, I drink from the water for sure.
Okay, and you've been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're making an impact?
I do think we're making an impact. you know, it's something that we review quite often. Rescue is not the only answer, like I was saying. This is a multifaceted problem.
Yes, and it's bigger than one person or a small
nonprofit. And fortunately, there are a lot of rescue groups out there, and they all sort of have a different way of doing whatever it is that they do. But there are actually other programs that we provide to try and increase the amount of animals and humans that we impact.
Okay.
Would you like to hear about them?
Sure.
Well, we decided about halfway through our existence that rescuing was not enough because, like I said, we have a limited capability of taking in animals. So we can really, in our max year, we took in about 175 dogs and cats.
Okay.
To me, that's not enough. We're not making a big enough impact. There's got to be another way. And so we created an education program. So we go into schools, senior centers, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and we basically educate them on proper pet care, which seems like a simple concept, but it's really actually quite eye-opening for some, and the importance of adoption. And the reason that we talk about the importance of adoption is because there are a lot of myths out there as to what the kind of animals are rescue animals.
Okay, so what's available? So
yes.
So what's the number one misconception about rescue animals?
That they were surrendered to the shelter because they're aggressive.
Okay.
And that is true. Sometimes there are those that are in the shelter that are aggressive, but they're actually not available to the public or to rescue.
Really?
Yes. So
so they get to the shelter and the people see, oh yeah, it's growling and the reason
that's happening is because of the environment of the shelter. But they have been aggression tested. They do know that they're okay with people. The ones that are not okay are segregated, and those are a different population.
Okay.
So it's not really something you should worry.
So you're not dealing with dogs that have been, say, abused or been part of dog fighting or that kind of thing?
Yes.
Most of the time.
Yes.
No.
Most. Right. I mean, I could say 99%. There's a couple cases I could tell you about that's
where one might have been
a victim.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yeah. But not aggressive. And
right.
Not,
but
not,
they weren't the aggressor and they're not the one that we're going to, you know, take in, make healthy, and then give to someone.
So they're not aggressive dogs. They're not dogs with that kind of trauma where they're going to be acting out. And
that's a misconception.
Okay.
You know, it really truly is. And I think that it's just propagated by cartoons and TV shows and the news. If you watch the news, oh my gosh, there's no happy stories. There's no, oh, this beautiful set of puppies was born at the shelter. It's all about the mean, aggressive dog that did something horribly catastrophic.
And he's been taken there.
And so it kind of propagates its own rumor. It's just distressing.
So it's an urban legend.
Yeah. So our education program is really an effort to dispel those myths, let people know that these are bodies, these are souls, these are loving companions that will provide happiness and psychological benefits.
Yes, they will always be happy to see you.
Yes. We've saved over 1,000 animals over our 10 years, and so many little faces come to my mind, and the humans that they're now bonded to, every single person says, how could this animal have been in a shelter?
I don't
understand how this animal
now
could be in a shelter, because they drink the water now. You know, they're convinced. They understand that they thought something that wasn't true.
Okay.
And we've been able to bring that animal out of that ugly environment and show them this is possible.
This
animal deserves a second chance. And there's so many like that, whether they are one of our rescues that we save or they're at the shelters. There's treasure in the shelter.
It's treasure. Sure. Oh, you've heard it here first. Don't go rushing over there looking for treasure. unless the kind of treasure you want is smiles and cuddles and getting your face licked.
Right. Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more of the Importance of Being show with me, Ernest Hackman, and my guest, Blythe Wheaton, of the Pet Rescue Center, and this is KX93.5.
opened up your door. I couldn't believe my luck. You in your new blue dress, taking away my breath. A cradle is soft and warm. I couldn't do me no harm. You're showing me how to give into temptation, knowing full well the earth will rebel. Into temptation, muddled of nervous words. Never amount to betrayal. Sentence is all my own, and the price is to watch it fail. As I turn to go, you looked at me for half a second with an open invitation for me to go into temptation, knowing full well the earth will rebel. Into temptation, safe in the wide open arms of hell. We can go sailing in, climb down, lose yourself when you linger long into temptation, right where you belong. Guilty get no sleep in the last slow hours of morning. Experience is cheap. I should listen to the warning. But the cradle is soft and warm. Temptation, knowing full well the earth will rebel. Into your wide open arms, no way to break this spell. Break this spell.
Heads laying low, and there's no point reliving crimes to lose this. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time with you.
And we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And today I am delighted, as I said earlier, to have as my guest Blythe Wheaton of the Pet Rescue Center. She's also a mom. The superhero, all of that. So when we left, or we started off and we were talking about what you guys do primarily is rescue pets and then try to provide them with a loving home. So rescuing them essentially from doggy or kitty.
Euthanasia?
Yes, yes. Death row, I was
yes,
going to say.
Death row. Yes, doggy yes. death row, kitty death row. Right.
But then in the last segment, you talked also about another approach because clearly you guys can't do it all.
Yeah, we can't
in terms
save them all.
Of
education.
You might be able to save that starfish.
Right. Yeah, I mean, education is key, really, truly. I mean, with any nonprofit, I think education is key, and that's a primary tool that you have to use to make sure that you're proactive, that you change the
so
world.
So you get out in front of the problem
yeah.
a little bit.
You don't want to set yourself up for failure. You know, if you keep just responding, you're only going to go so far, but if you can get ahead of it.
I suspect it's kind of like filling your cup from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's just plenty.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So you do some education, senior centers, schools, And is that enough? Is that turning the tide?
Tide is starting to turn.
It
has improved in the past 10 years, in my opinion. I think that rescue is viewed as an issue now.
Okay.
It's actually viewed.
So it's become a thing.
It's become a thing. Yeah, where before it was very abstract.
It was
very backyard, and to rescue an animal was not something that
So you
was
jump
very
over
common.
Someone's fence and you grab their dog.
Yeah, and I mean little kids, if you talk to little kids about their excitement about rescuing an animal, they know about it. They're excited about it.
Okay.
So I think that's a positive thing.
You've made some impact.
You've
established, I guess, some mind space.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that that's great, because I really feel that that is the key to, in 10 years from now, just like 10 years ago, the difference will be exponential.
Okay.
I hope. I'm optimistic. But, you know, the rescue issue is
yes,
for
Virginia,
right now.
There is a Santa Claus.
Yeah, the rescues for right now are because the current situation that we are faced with is, and this is a scary statistic, we have summarized the Orange County, Los Angeles, and San Bernardino shelters that we serve, which is, I'd say we frequent around 80% of them. One in four dogs is killed.
Okay. Okay. So that works out to be a pretty big number.
Yes. And one in two cats is killed.
Ooh.
So it's a huge number. So as much as we're making an impact rescuing animals, and so are, you know, other people that are in the same business, it's still not enough. The education has to make those numbers go down.
Sure.
We do have another program, though, that we've decided is critical to help shave those numbers down. And I think it's really a
great
program.
Do you want to tell the people, or you want to make it like a secret?
I think I want to tell. I'm going to share it. I'm going to share. It's actually, we call it the pet pantry. And it's the same concept as a pantry for humans, where when you come upon hard times, or you're unemployed, or you're a senior over 65 and you're limited to a fixed income,
mm-hmm.
that is actually the first at-risk population to surrender their animals to the shelter because of financial constraint.
Wow.
So if you think about that, it's very sad.
Well, it is.
That,
it is, because
yeah.
Those are people who could use the companionship.
That's right.
As
they need that positive endorphin rush and that animals are proven psychologically to give you. So because of that, we have created the pet pantry, and what that means is we provide pet food once a month through distribution to anyone that qualifies. So anyone that qualifies in those categories is being able to prove unemployment,
okay,
or prove they're over 65. We have an application process, and then we have a one-time-a-month distribution,
okay,
and we want to support those people to make them get through that difficult time. Because if we can just get them over the hump.
Yeah, keep the pet healthy,
keep the pet in the home, then that animal is not absorbed into the shelter population.
And now you're getting out ahead of it.
That's right. That's another way to get ahead of it. So
wow.
I think that that is a great program as well. And, you know, numbers-wise, like I said earlier, we impact around 150, 175 rescues a year.
Okay.
We educate 3,000 to 4,000 a year. And we save 175 dogs and cats per month from going into the shelters.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
That's making an impact.
So to me, I think that, you know, the numbers are just mind-blowing when you think about it, of how much is to be done. And,
right.
You know, you can, like we said in the beginning, you can look at the problem and just go, you know what? I'm going to let somebody else do that and walk away.
Right.
But, you know,
somebody should do something about that.
Someone should do something about that. But with what we've created and what we're able to accomplish, I think we're making a difference.
Someone who's crazy should probably do it. Because somebody who's sane would say, oh, that's too much work.
It is. It's a lot of work. And it's not financially lucrative either. But that's not why we're doing it. So I'm glad it's running.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that there are people out there like you. So if people want to adopt, or people want to get involved in some way, people want to get in contact with you, What do? Wish upon a star?
No, no. We've actually set up a very modern way of getting in contact with us. We have a website.
I was hoping nobody ever goes with the wishing upon a star.
You know, I do it on a daily basis, but I would like everyone listening to go to thepetrescuecenter.org and make sure you put a the in front of Pet Rescue Center, because there that's how you will get to us.
Okay.
We are thepetrescuecenter.org. Once you get to our website, it's very thorough. You can find out about our pet pantry program. You can find out about our medical needs program, which is an extension of our rescue program that helps get animals healthy, rehabilitated, and adopted. Mm-hmm. You can find out about our education program for schools and reach out to us through that website and let us know how you'd like to get involved. But primarily, most importantly, the only way we can do what we do is through donations.
Okay.
So, because like I said earlier, we're primarily funded through private donations.
Right.
And without financial support, we cannot do what we do.
Can't continue.
Yeah. Animals are very expensive. I'm unpaid. I've been an unpaid executive director for 10 years. I'm the founder with my husband, and neither of us receives any financial benefit from this. But the animals themselves require services that cost money that other people won't
Medicine,
provide for free.
Food, yes.
Yes.
All
so
those kinds of things.
That is where the money goes, and that is how we can make sure that we're making this big difference that we've talked about. It just takes a little bit. You know, if you want to donate every day the cost of your coffee,
that would help. That would make a difference.
That
for
would
you?
Make a huge difference. I mean, just makes me get tingles and excited. Like, if everybody did that and they supported these animals that live in their purses and sleep in their beds and give them kisses when they get home, just think about how important that animal is to you, and just think about how many of those same animals are euthanized. You have to feel compelled.
You would be
to
driven
help.
To do something at that point.
Absolutely.
I'm almost driven to do
something.
I know. But what I'm driven to do is to let you know that we're out of time.
Okay. All right.
And thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for being on the show and letting my listeners know about, you know, the problem, what can be done, what they can do, and all that. So, Blythe Wheaton, go forth and
save lives.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
One person can save the world. You've heard it here first. Well, not probably not first, but anyway, this is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. Coming up next is Craig Cooley and Rainbow Radio. And thanks for listening. This is KX93.5.
Some faith that pulls a song to the bottom. Pull some, pull some.